This is Daisy Uhas talking about pages 45 through 47 of The Crossing by Cormac McCarthy. So I'm going to start by saying there's so much to talk about in this passage that I have to say the passage slowly to digest everything, and I'm probably going to say the commentary entirely too quickly to try to get at everything I want to say. The first point I want to hit on is Don Arnulfo's comment that the wolf is unknowable or beyond man's understanding. This is a book where basically most of the motivations and psychology, as the New York Times article sort of put it, is unknowable. It's opaque. We don't know the motivations behind characters' actions, and yet at the same time, many characters are really interested in motivations, and we have figures who are just determined to figure out why God and man and animals do the things that they do. So it's really interesting that Don Arnulfo brings up the idea of unknowability, because that's quite a tangle in and of itself. Part of what makes the wolf unknowable is its understanding that death is the only thing which imposes order on the world, which makes sense sort of with this revolutionary backdrop, that kind of conclusion being drawn, and also the wolf's appreciation for the blood of the slain, which is interesting because Billy specifically should have a very strong sense of the loss of those who have died, the blood of the slain, which makes me wonder about Billy's position in this kind of scheme that's described, if he's privileged to sort of the wolf's viewpoint through his bonding with the wolf. One of the points I'd really like to explore, because it's hard given we don't know a lot about the psychology of the characters, but Billy's growth in this story and whether he learns more about how to view the world or not, and whether he sort of begins the story privileged with a more natural view, or he develops that over time. Arnulfo also suggests that man misses this world where, quote, storms blow, trees twist, animals that God has made go to and fro. So it's a natural man, or excuse me, natural God-made world, and it's one which is almost violently active with twisting, storms, and movement. It's a true world and a fragile one, one that is made of breath only. It can be blown out. This sort of calls back to the inscrutability of it, that it can only be understood on its own ground. It also, I think, is really neat that he uses the phrase blow out, which both sort of suggests this delicate blowing out of a candle and the massive blowout of an atomic bomb, which is how the story ends. It also would be interesting if digging into a passage like this leads us to some conclusions. At least personally, I couldn't help thinking that the blowout and the sense that man can't understand it unless he sort of sees it on his own terms is sort of a hint at the potency of man's ignorance, and that man really needs to understand nature in its own terms. Like Busby, who parallels this story in some ways to The Rime of the Mariner, I think there's a lot of interesting kind of conservation-type ideas in here that I wouldn't be surprised to see, given that McCarthy is associated with Edward Abbey. In a slightly different direction, I'd also like to talk about religious apocalypse in the book. Arnold wrote an essay called Go to Sleep, Dreams and Visions in the Border Trilogy, which suggests that The Crossing is a book of revelation. So one question I would have is whether reading the story in that way is useful to you or not, and whether, for me at least, I think it's useful, but it also in some ways softens the violence, because it kind of gives them a purpose, which is something that I'm not sure McCarthy would necessarily be going for. So it might be interesting to talk about that. I also think Arnulfo asks a really great question in light of Arnold's kind of reading, which is, where is the sun? Tracking the sun is, I think, a really useful thing in this book, and that's why I chose this passage specifically to open with the sun's location. I think the sun appears at very significant times in this book, and that's something I'll have to talk about more in class and get ideas on. Working with Arnold's ideas, the sun is sort of associated with the revelation of a spiritual truth, so Arnulfo is kind of giving us these spiritual truths, and then when the sun is set, he's done, and is ready to send Billy out. And he also says something curious, which is that he knows nothing, which on one level is sort of like a way to soften the blow of this very harsh truth, and on another level is almost like acknowledging that he's just a vessel for this information, which you might get more conclusions about if you're interested. You can take a look at an interview on Oprah's website with Cormac McCarthy called McCarthy and the Subconscious. Working with Arnold's reading, then, the last little bit of information about this place that Billy needs to find is not revelation, but rather prophecy, related to Billy's future specifically. And a question that I'd love to go into is whether Billy ever finds this place where the acts of God and man are at peace, and if so, where and when. The last point I'd really like to get into is the idea of authority in this text. Certain characters speak with a lot of authority, and it's fun because you meanwhile have Billy, who, like on page 379, responds to this elaborate explanation of mortality and fatalism with the simple "men die" that he repeats twice. That's his only response to this. Meanwhile, you have these very eloquent and really interesting discussions coming from characters like the blind revolutionary and the former priest. And so one thing I'd like to talk about is sort of where do these authority figures derive their authority and whether they're in agreement. Oh gosh, I'm out of time again. So I can't wait to talk about this. There's so much to talk about. And thank you very much for your time. Bye.